Not one that I can include in a show. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the Apple news of the week. We did a Perseverance show last night, which is posted up already on the servers. You can have that, and that was a load of fun. NASA's not landing anything this afternoon, so we're going to have to do Apple news, such as it is. But to keep it light and interesting, I've got a fantastic bunch with me. Look at that, six of the buggers. Hey, starting us off, top left, bloke from Hawaii who comes once in a while.
That's
so
dirty.
No, as in turns up here once in a while. That was nothing dirty at all. How dare you? From the Ecamm network himself, with big zeros in the check. Dark Rock, how you doing, dude?
Good, good. Have been super, super busy. I try to do all kinds of things and
counting your money.
Yeah, glad to finally be back, and you know, just wanted to say hi and hope everyone's doing well.
Oh, okay, you done then?
Yeah, I'm out. See ya. I gotta go. wait, last thing I gotta say before I leave is glory, glory, Man United, and then I'm out.
You're not doing so well at the minute.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what? When you guys are acting horrible and I hate you, I'm still your friends. So
no, that's fine.
How you have to be about your sports teams. You have to love them no matter what they're doing. It could be Sheffield United. I could be at the bottom. So
don't talk to me about being at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, Birmingham. I forgot. You guys still play or are you guys like in kickball or something?
We sort of practically where Sheffield United are, but in the division below. So
yeah, I know.
It's going well.
I'm teasing. Anyway, yes, I'm just happy to be here. I feel like we should have a tic-tac-toe thing.
I remember when Sheffield United were in Division 3 and there wasn't a Premiership.
True story.
Yeah. Is it the Championship? What's the third one now?
League 1, which makes no sense.
League 1, yeah, which is actually League 3. Next to him, Jeffrey, teed up and ready to go. Do you see what I did there? Teed up.
I see exactly what you did there. And yes, my tea is awesome.
And in the cup, unlike Patrice's.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good last night. I really enjoyed that. I so enjoyed that. It was brilliant. The 11-minute thing bamboozled me for a little while, but
we eventually got it sorted out.
I love the fact that we're sitting talking about something so cool as your name about to land on Mars. And you're thinking, oh, God, I wish I could do that for a living. And you realize that you haven't worked out the 11-minute delay. And you're just like, what, NASA aren't going to hire me now because they know I can't do the 11-minute delay on the video feed. Wanker.
Yeah, I think if we use yesterday's show as our resume, we just talked ourselves out of a job.
Well, to be fair, though, there's people at NASA who've only done something once and they still got the jobs.
Well, that's a really good point.
That bloke Al Chen, he's only landed one rover on Mars, and yet they still gave him the job.
That's right. And we've done lots of shows.
Yeah, I know he's done two now, so he's doubled his experience, like we said. But and Batwench, thank you for the show title, landing on Matt Damon's potatoes. It was apposite. next team, the person who hasn't got her tea in her cup, Patrice.
Well, it's most of it is still there.
Okay. If you want to go and make another one, it's fine. Wait till we've done the first story, and then it's really shit after that, so there's nothing else to talk about.
No, don't worry. I got enough. I just spilled a little bit on top. Not much.
Brilliant. Back from the links and on lunch hour, Chuck Joyner.
Back from the links, man. I have to shovel the links before I can get on them.
You've got about 10 inches of snow.
I think right now we probably have a total of about eight or nine.
Yeah.
So it's all that nitrogen is soaking into the greens, so they'll be nice and green when spring comes. But for now,
it'd be beautiful.
You're gonna lose.
Did I see right that Texas had snow? I'm blasting over that.
Chuck, that delivery was so
perfect. It was perfect.
That was so perfect.
I'm just trying to keep up with you guys.
Show title. All right.
Is it me or does it look like Chuck's just got a really tiny mic?
Yeah, because it's cold.
It's just yeah.
Callum's just seen it. To it.
Oh, my.
Oh, well. Did the ICC see that Texas had snow?
Yeah. So I'm saying it's spooky. Really, really cold in the U.S. right now. Like, it's really bad in Texas, too. Like, taking out pipes, freezing toilets. There was a guy yesterday who posted an image that came all over the internet where I guess his ceiling fan froze and there's stalactite style icicles coming off of the ceiling fan. That is just cray cray.
What's the mites and tights thing?
Call those icicles.
Because is it tights are up and mites are down?
Yes. Yeah, because you got to be mighty to reach the roof. That's what it is. Hang tight to the ceiling. That's why it took me a second to process that elementary in my head.
It's all right. I didn't know it at all. Next to him, our man from IMN Max, Callum. How the devil are you, dude?
I'm good. Had a good week at IMN Max. No snow. We had that a week or two ago. So, been a good busy week, and it's Friday again, and I'm back here with...
Doing Muller's Mac Mini next week.
Yeah, he's dropping his Mac Mini. We're going to pop an SSD in it for him, and
it's going to fly.
We'll try and fit him in somewhere.
Just let him stay in the car, mate. God, don't invite him in. Christ.
Oh no! I only meant in the work schedule. He's not coming in.
I mean, you're talking about COVID. I'm talking about all the time.
That's what I was talking about as well.
Just put him back in the car. I can't read that out.
Muller in, you can never get the smell out.
He's like a vampire. You have to invite him in.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Is that a Blues fan thing? No. And last but by no means least, Mr. Ginsburg.
How you doing? Yeah, I got about 2 feet of snow here on the ground, so it's been snowing at least measurable the last 2 weeks, so it's been crazy here. But
we had a good bit of snow the other week, but it's gone now. It's kind of disappeared.
It's cold. Yeah, it's cold, but we're glad to be here. And
Nice. The planet is returning to normal because no one's driving cars anymore. Well, that's not true, actually, because everywhere's bloody packed where I've been this week. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. We can't not start with the malware story. So first malware natively running on M1 chips. This is a something 22 malware that was originally done for x86, but it's been adjusted for M1 chips, and it's been sat there peddling away. How's this managed to happen then? Because I mean, I know that we've always had this.
We have developers that knew what they were doing and coded properly, so when it was time to recompile for M1, it would just work.
You've turned that into an advert
for them.
The other thing that's very possible is they were trying to do something iPad oriented and then were kind of like already halfway there, and so then when the M1 came out, it was like, oh look, shiny object, let's go after it.
You think that's what it is then? It's someone was going for an iPad malware, which that would be really hard, surely.
Yeah, because that has been the golden nugget up until now, right? The ticket. That was the golden ticket up until now. Like, how do I finally infiltrate the thing that, you know, Apple loves to go on stage and go, no can get in, Coco, good gorilla. And yeah, now somebody was probably already working on it. Because, I mean, everybody's been trying to take out Apple for so long, and it normally doesn't get very far. And then we all say, well, it's not a real exploit because the person has to be dumb enough to run it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think it's been a thing for a minute.
This is a malicious extension. It was originally run for Intel x86, GoSearch 22, well-known member of the Pirate Mac Adware family. So this is something that's been around before.
Mac Cleaner.
Don't say anything I can get sued for bloody hell's sake. But I mean, is there something going on with the M86, with the M1 architecture that's allowed this to be easier done? Or is that just the fact that everyone's put a bit more effort in?
I say B.
Oh, silence.
Yeah, I'm with Doc. Yeah.
And I think I go with Jeff, too, that, you know, I mean, whoever wrote this just wanted to see their malware run really fast. So,
Chuck, you're on fire.
It's only taken him 4 years to get into this, hasn't it? But he's totally in it today. You hit the zone there, man.
He was talking about the snow on the golf course. If he had a walk round, it would all melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just think this is like someone's gone, oh, I'll tell you what, I could soon change this so that it would feasibly run on an M1 chip, and then we get the headlines.
I think the whole reason why any of those guys do exploits is twofold. For some, it is about getting user data or something else that they can sell on the black market and make, you know, money. But for the majority of them, it has, as always has been, the bragging rights. So there's definitely been, for years, this idea of getting first bragging rights for having the first real Mac exploit, and that kind of still doesn't really happen. The closest one we has was that, what was it called a couple years back? Beginning with an S. Oh, my God. Now I can't remember. Because, yeah, they're so fleeting to us. Like, the PC people, they know them inside out, upside down, backwards, and sideways, because they happen a lot. But we just haven't really had that issue. You know, and so I think it's just been not a low-hanging fruit, but it has been a hanging fruit for a long time. It's like the holy grail of internet douchebaggery.
Yeah, I don't agree that we don't have exploits. We have exploits all the time, but they get patched really fast. I think, I mean, where I agree is it's for bragging rights. Like, the first person to find something that is specific to the M1, so not like not a macOS general issue that happens on Intel as well, but specific to the M1. I think that is a bragging right that some people just wanted.
And it's a browser extension. Let's face it. I mean, and they patched it really quickly, like Patrice said. I just don't. I think like you said, it's notoriety. Well, look at me. I was able to put a malware on an M1. Yay.
Yeah, and it is malware. It's not viral, so it's not an infection in true sense. You've installed it, and it's doing nefarious things because you installed it. It's not leapt upon you.
And this really isn't M1 specific. I mean, yes, it was compiled for the M1 processor, but like you pointed out, Ewan, this is something that already existed on the Intel processors. So this gets a high five, but it doesn't get the bragging rights of we found a way to exploit the M1 chip.
Nah.
I'm not so sure.
Go ahead, Chuck. Go ahead.
Gotcha.
Well, just real quick. I mean, am I the only one that feels like, you know, some of this stuff is just flat out economically motivated, that if they can compromise it one way or another, that it's something that they can sell?
Yeah,
they can sell the solution. Yeah, they can sell the problem to Apple through the developer program.
Yeah, business.
So I look at it from a business side that I'm the first one that has this product. So if somebody wants to, reach those M1 Macs, I'm the guy that you come to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and again, it's passed quickly. You know, one of the things that is probably helping this along more than ever too, is with the new kids that are coming up, they are growing up in the era of subscription software, whereas when we were growing up, Wares was something you knew somebody that had a bunch of discs and they can just hand you the disc, and then it became bulletin boards, and then it became forums, and then it became torrents and so forth, so on, etc., and it got rapidly better. So now the honeypot game is extremely strong. Like, you can just go look for any software you want to buy, and the second or third link is how to get it for free. They say, especially on YouTube, a place where I hang out a lot. And so what they are sending people is they send you these links that tell you to go to some site, and I'm going to get you, you know, CCC for free. And so kids who don't know any better, who don't know that this stuff is damaging, who don't know that what they're doing is completely wrong, they just look as like, well, I can't pay, you know, $80 a month to have this software, so I'm going to click this link because the guy on the YouTube told me it was free and it was easy. And then next thing you know, they've installed an exploit. And the next thing you know, someone's calling their grand saying, I can't unlock your computer unless you send me gift cards to Walmart for $300.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is seriously how it goes down. I just listened to a fantastic podcast on the New York Times, The Daily, and they actually caught up with the guy who runs one of these call centers in, where was it? Not Bangalore. It's a very common place. I'm so dumb. Anyway, so they ran into, they caught the guy. They went all the way to his house, and they confronted him. And he was just a young kid trying not to get beat up by the overarching mafia that runs, you know, the city that he's in. And yeah, it's kind of crazy that level of scammery, like, oh, I locked your computer, granny, can you get out? It runs deep, and it has to do, you know, with the craziest thing. So these guys are just working because they get in trouble if they don't pull in marks. Not to be confused with Patrice's money. I mean, with actual marks, like in people who are crazy enough to.
I thought Patrice moved on to euros.
Yeah, we moved on to euros like
I know.
That 20 years ago.
A long time ago.
I know.
I'm sorry for ruining your joke, Doc.
Yeah, but anyway, the point is that it is unfortunate that the young kids have not been sort of trained in, like, you know, getting what you need for Animal Crossing doesn't require you to click this nefarious link on this site, which then opens up your computer to the worst things. And next thing you know, your family's in trouble because you were trying to, like, cheat a game because people's self-worth are now attached to how good you are at Animal Crossing.
Okay.
You understand?
Hmm.
Yeah, I think with that as well, sort of from my point of view, something I see and deal with a lot on every Mac of any age. It's only ever going to be a matter of time, and I think it is a bit of both. I think it is financially motivated, and I think it is, the adage of "I did it first, look at me" as well. So but I've just had a quick read through the article. It's been on there since December, which really doesn't surprise me at all. And I know that we'll be seeing a lot more of them as we go, and it's just one of those things you have to live with, I think, as a Mac user, and especially as someone who supports people.
My interest in this is whether the M1 offers an architecture which is easier to attack than before.
I would say it's probably easier than an iPad, but harder than an Intel Mac. Just because,
that's it.
Okay.
Just because it's newer, it's newer and it's different. There hasn't been iterations of it before to sort of work off. But it will come, and it will get to a point where it's, you know, just adding bits on with every update.
But the advantage hackers have with the M1 over the processors that we have in the iPad and the iPhone is that the Mac is not limited to Apple's walled garden app store.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
the biggest difference, yeah.
We had Graham, I can't remember his surname, I want to say Clooney, but I don't think it was. We had Graham on from Sophos many years ago, many, many years ago on the network, and a show with Eric Lanigan. And he was saying that Mac users, you know, can't be naive. They have to realize that malware and viruses, as well as Trojans, etc., are coming. Eric was very much talking about the fact, well, yeah, but it's not here now, and it doesn't look like it's anytime soon. He said, no, it's definitely coming. And here we are, probably actually a good 6 to 8 years down the line from when we did that, and we're really not seeing a plethora of... Is that purely down to Apple's diligence on it, or is it still just too hard an exercise?
I think it's
combination of both.
I think it's very much a case of Apple, you know, it's difficult to get started, and as soon as you do, you get crushed immediately, pretty much. So I do think it's a combination of the two.
Chromecast has included Apple TV on it natively. Google today announced that the Apple TV app has launched on the $50 Chromecast with Google TV, which is the latest version of the Chromecast dongle to use. Apple's got to get it's software out there, hasn't it? It's got to be ubiquitous. It's got to be on every smart TV. Mm-hmm. If you're saying I'm a content provider now, I'm not a restrictive computer supplier, you've got to get that app working everywhere. All platforms have got to take it.
That's going to be the big next step for Apple and Apple TV with it, just getting it out to every device and making it become a Netflix and become a Prime Video and that sort of thing. That's going to be the big next sort of leap for them, and it looks like they're trying to do it, and they're getting there with it. So
didn't they take an exec from Netflix about a year ago?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And they're also, Plex announced that it was trying to work on some Apple TV integration as well.
Yeah.
I think if more and more people are jumping on this, that's can only be good for Apple. Because
Jesus, Jeff coughed up his voice box.
I'm saying.
If you find my spleen, let me know.
He coughed up an entire cat.
Don't be polite, dude. Let that pressure out. All ends.
I think I've just seen it fly past my window. Jesus Christ.
Now you know how I got my most recent office manager.
He's got a mountain lion outside padding around looking for his cat, and it heard that and went, stuff this.
See, this is why the game doesn't get me.
It doesn't get you.
He just sneezes on them.
Yeah, don't go near the old dude over there. He'll shit on you. Just shit on his car instead.
You also have to wonder, as Apple's doing this, you know, we're all trying to speculate, find out what's next for the Apple TV device. Is that going to exist? Are they going to continue to evolve with it? And I find it interesting to see where that goes. I mean,
there's got to be a point, isn't there?
There's got to be a point, yeah.
There's got to be a tipping point where it's no longer worth making a box because your app's on everything.
Right, right.
I have thoughts on this.
Oh, okay. Do you want to finish what you're saying, Dave, and then we'll go back to... You don't, Dave's done.
Yeah, no, okay. Go ahead, John.
No, Dave, you're on a roll.
Tell you what, you guys are turning out to be so British these days. No, after you. No, after you. I couldn't.
I
after
got
you.
My tea. Okay, fine, I'll go. Apple TV as a device can't go away, because if it does, then you lose the whole Apple gaming platform.
Yeah.
And also, if Apple TV goes away, now the only place that you can have it is on the smart TVs and dongles that Apple has partnerships with. And that is not everything. So if you have an Apple TV, you can have Apple TV content everywhere. And putting Apple TV software on something like a Chromecast or Roku, that doesn't give you full Apple TV device. That gives you Apple's content on that device. And that's not the same thing as putting an Apple TV on someone else's device.
But there is a tipping point at some point whereby actually arcade is so shit that no one buys it anyway.
Well, if arcade goes away,
then it's gone.
There's less value in having an Apple TV device. But until Apple can have its own streaming service, like so ubiquitous that you can't buy something without the Apple TV streaming service being or software being on there, like you can do with Netflix. I mean, you buy a toaster and it has Netflix installed. You need to have the Apple TV Plus service on the toaster, on everything, just like Netflix is. And until you do that, you can't get rid of the Apple TV box.
Muller's saying that he prefers the Apple TV app to the other... He prefers the Apple TV to just the app itself. And I agree with that. I agree on that on the basis that I never look for a movie through the TV section, TV Plus. I always look for the movies in the movies button, mm-hmm. or TV shows in the TV shows button. I hate trying to navigate the TV app. It's awful. Same. I'd rather have front row.
I use the TV app and it's connected to all of my services. So I have my CBS All Access, which is about to become Paramount Plus. I have my Disney Plus there. I have my what do you call that, Showtime, like all of that stuff, Hulu, it's all connected there. So if you connect all your apps to the TV Plus app the way it's supposed to work, it's actually pretty good, because when you hit that at first, what happens is the content that you are watching or the suggestions around the content that you're watching that are all connected, they give you a nice quick look thing at the top, and then you can kind of find it. Whereas the old way of doing it was you had to scroll through your menus and open each individual app. And so I don't have to do that anymore. So, I think it's actually good. It could be better. There are some interface things that are irritating. But for the most part, the other thing that's nice about that is whether I'm using this Apple TV or the one upstairs at home or the one at the in-laws house or my phone or my iPad, all of my shows are organized exactly the same way in one spot. So if you set it up correctly, it will be your friend. If you don't, then I can see where it's disjointed.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm with you, Doc. The problem that I have with it is that not every service I subscribe to goes into the Apple TV app.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating, because
I think they're working on it. I think the services are being curmudgeon-y.
Oh, yeah, it's totally the services. Yeah.
And because they don't get it. They don't get it. They like, I don't want to be that close to CBS All Access. And I'm like, but you know why that's messed up? Okay, Peacock is curmudgeon-y. They're one, right? And I have. And if you're Peacock and you're supposed to be proud as a Peacock, then you should not be afraid of CBS All Access, who has an identity problem. You should go right there and go, look, our stuff is dope. Look at you. You're looking kind of shady. But you get a weak-minded, you know, person that's running that division that blocks it. It's not even any other reason than the decision maker goes, I don't want to be next to them. And it's dumb, because it's like being next to them on the TV. On almost everybody's station in the U.S., the stations are right next to each other. They're normally one station away. So just let it go in there. Like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
I mean, same thing with Netflix. Same thing with Netflix. You know, Netflix is everywhere. I mean, they go out and their app is integrated with everything. I mean, I'm an Xfinity Comcast subscriber in the States here, and they integrate their app into the X1 technology. So I can go from within that cable box and access Netflix. And, of course, Peacock is part of the subscription. So Netflix does the same thing. So I like the model. I think they should keep it integrated, make it easier to access, because you know, Chuck and I talked about this on my show last night. All these services are just so hard to find. You find where to watch and where to go watch it. And I think the Apple TV Plus app is going to help everything.
The thing that's the ironic part for me
is that integration of your logins. Like, somebody got to come up with a better login system. Yeah. And the idea of go to, you know, jeffdammick.com/activate to make my thing work. I'm like, bro, I'm paying you. You got my credit card. Apple knows it. It's the same device that I paid you from. I shouldn't have to do that.
Apple actually came up with a solution for that, and nobody implemented it.
Nobody implemented it. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. Allow your TV provider to be, yeah. And no, even a TV provider here wouldn't do it. Spectrum, you dinks.
I had, I did a thing with, I can't remember who it was the other week, but I was here at the office, and I signed in the morning to the app, and it said, I got a notification screen. It said, we're going to send you a text because this is the first sign in from this device. And I'm kind of like, well, it's not, but okay. So I got the verification code through, typed it in. Great, no problem. Thanks, you, and you're in. I went back to the same web page in the afternoon. I hadn't restarted the computer, nothing. On the same browser, we've just noticed a sign in from a new machine. New machine, right, okay. Don't recall buying one in the lunch period. And it's we're going to send you a text. And you're like, holy crap. It's just not okay. And I can't find Apple content. That's one thing that pisses me off about Apple TV. You go in there and go, show me only Apple shows. And it can't. You have to scroll around looking for where it is. Should be banner one.
You can't do that now.
You can do that.
No, you had to go down, and it was like three quarters down, and it had a ribbon of Apple TV shows, but there was no kind of like go to just Apple TV shows.
No, you can.
Well, go okay, to the Apple, great, they fixed it.
Cause there's a tab.
I was so pissed off with it, I haven't gone back, mate. So
yeah, that's why.
Yeah. I get sick and tired. Right, easy. I'm going to have a little rant here. Sorry, boys. Where's my soapbox? We've had this conversation, you and me, Doc, about the shift to constrain on Photoshop. So you do Command-T for transform, and then you shift. For 20 years, I've held shift to constrain the resize. And now they've flipped it to the one that it should have been to start with, which is why you did press anything to change the proportion. So if you press shift now, it then skews. And you're like, okay, well, that's what it should have been 20 years ago, but I've had 20 years of learning this, and now you change it, you little bastards, and it's a pain in the ass. What have they done in 2021? For 20 years, when you do save as, it comes up, and the file name is highlighted so that you type, and then you've just got to pick the file format and click save, right? 2021 has changed it so that that file name is no longer highlighted. So I open up something, do Command-Alt-S, I know it comes up, I start typing the file name that I want, I look up and it's not highlighted, it just says untitled. You little shits, why have you changed that now after 20 years? And there's something about that with user interface. If you don't get that user interface right from the start and it works as people expect, people just go, bollocks then, I'm not doing it. And that's what I've done with Apple TV. Mm-hmm. It's just, now I'm just like, not interested, sorry guys.
And it's funny that you say that because that is 100% the case. And I think the reason why they adjusted it is they got pressured by all the new people that all of a sudden just joined up and who were used to these weird apps like, you know, something in the website, PicMonkey or Pixit or whatever, all these things. So those, and they've been to it. And I would have been like, no, man, we have millions of people that have used this app for 30, 40 years this way. We're not going to change it. You just need to learn how to do it. But they cave in to the new folks, and it screwed over all the old folks. Even though I would say the old folks probably outnumber the new folks are very loud. So mate, they switched it.
Most operating instructions and manuals that I read now have been written by a dyslexic gibbon who's had a lobotomy and got electrodes on its testicles. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, 100% true. You know, I get a lot of complaints about like the Rodecaster Pro, and people say, well, it didn't come with a manual. I go, well, it did. It came with four gigantic cards, bro. Dave would tell you the cards are bigger than the mixer, right? Yeah, and it's four gigantic cards where there's no way for you to screw this up. But people say, but it didn't come with a manual. I'm like, that was the manual because it's that easy a device. But everyone's like, no, but I needed like a book. And I'm like, it was designed for you to flip the four cards over, you know, every way and figure it out. But them trying to be cute and, you know, save the planet, if you will, it causes so much tech support headaches for them, which is funny because most people don't actually read manuals. It comes like this and they just go, you know, so yeah, we're in a weird spot right now with manuals, and I feel you, and I get so irritated at lack of manual because I liked reading them.
Yeah, no, I'm a rare man.
The Apple TV thing for a second though.
Okay.
Because I feel like, I think one of the big mistakes Apple made was they named the Apple TV device and the Apple TV service basically the same thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like there are two issues here. I mean, it makes perfect sense for Apple to get their service out on every device they can possibly get, the from the original TV manufacturers to all the box manufacturers. But there's also the discussion that should come over the box itself and what kind of experience that can provide. If they're going to mirror it, then yeah, there's kind of no point. But I'm waiting. I'm hoping that the next iteration of the Apple TV will really enhance that experience, whether it's through gaming or better navigation or something. Not so that it's exclusive. If you are a Ted Lasso person and you want to see it, and you don't want to buy the Apple TV box, great. You know, you can go see it. But if you want the better experience, then buy the box and try to get as much stuff on there as you can. But whoever said it before, you're absolutely right. I think it's the service providers and everybody who's trying to create their own little walled gardens so that you have to play it in them the way they want them to. That's where the real problem is.
Yeah.
The single sign-in is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing is you've got apps now within apps. So you're looking at Disney is starting this Stars thing that's coming soon. and you know there's going to be an extra charge to that, and then stuff is going to get you're paying $5.99 for Disney Plus, but then loads of stuff is going to get hived off into Stars that you had access to before, because now they can charge you more for it, for the popular stuff. And just, that's where I'm getting to say, do you know what, stuff it up your ass.
Another thing that they did, which is kind of smart, HBO has a smart move on their hands, and it's a little irritating, but it's still smart. As a business, it's smart on their hands. So HBO always had HBO and Skinemax, right? They've always owned both of them. But they went and picked up, like, the Hayao Miyazaki collection. They went and picked up a bunch of other stuff and added it into that. So now when you get HBO Max, which is their new thing, you can see that the other channels are buried within. The problem is, if you don't know that AT&T owns all of this crap, then you don't know where to find it. Like, it's brilliant. Like, I'm an AT&T subscriber, so the best thing that happened to me this year was, hey, you can get rid of paying for HBO, you know, because it's part of your phone service. Perfect. I'll take it. But, like, when I was there, I already knew about, you know, the HBO part, and I knew about the Cinemax part, but I didn't know they owned all this other stuff. And it's all in there, and it's fantastic for us. But what if you were one of those fans and you can't find it? Like, where'd my Nickelodeon go? It's inside HBO Max now. Oh, why would I think to look for Nickelodeon in there? I don't know, because somehow you're supposed to have read the Wall Street Journal to know that they own that.
Yeah, but that's you know, that's my house keys are absolutely useless as long as I can't find them. It's no different. For All Mankind, talking about Apple TV again, season 2 For All Mankind dropped today. Couldn't be more excited. Really looking forward to that. Got a bit of a tentative okay. The season 1 was great. Really, really loved it. Season 2, though, I'm kind of like, is this just going to be Cold War in space? Is it going to be Bay of Pigs and they're going to send some Cubans into space to try and solve their problem on the other side of the moon? Or there's a spaceship that's got a rocket on it and they're going to embargo it and then there'll be 13 days of tension.
You wasn't excited about M. Night Shyamalan in The Servant?
Oh, Jesus, no.
That show, baby. I was like, what? I know he does this, and I keep watching him again, hoping that he will finally get back to his original. Like, his first movie, dope. Everybody loved it. Everything since then has been pissing you off. And I'm like, I keep giving him a chance, and he did it again. I was like, man, if I see him like Shyamalan in person, I'm going to slap him.
You know what it is, don't you? It's disposable wealth. And this is the same of all, this is true of all famous people who've got stuff that's just a little bit way out, right? So the Beatles stuff, early stuff was just chunk-a-chunk stuff because they couldn't afford any drugs. Then they could afford some drugs and the stuff got really good. But then all of a sudden they could afford the really expensive drugs and loads of it and the stuff went shit again. And that's what it is. I'm telling you, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong has had... he can afford the really good shit now. And his stuff's just gone, woo!
Oh my God, that is the best breakdown ever and 100% true.
If you're watching, by the way, that's an utter fabrication. There's no truth in that whatsoever. Just if you hadn't picked it up.
Okay, well, you can change it to the Who and then it lines up. Okay?
Oh, mate. You're driving a Rolls Royce into a swimming pool. Then you know you can afford the expensive drugs.
Next week's show sponsor, Keith Richards.
No, he wasn't in The Who. You're talking about Keith Moon, you muppet.
I mean Moon, sorry.
He was the one that... Keith Richards is still alive now.
Keith Richards could have done it.
Keith Richards has got to leave his body to the medical science, because how the bloody hell he's got to be this age is unbelievable. Anyway, getting back to the stuff that we can't get sued for. For All Mankind is coming. I don't want to, because I think it is going to go a bit Bay of Pigs, Cold War. And we've got what's his face, he's going to show up soon, isn't he, on the timeline, Kennedy. So it could go that way. But what's really pissing me off is the releasing it every Friday bit. What are you doing?
I was just going to say, once a week.
Just bugger off. There is zero benefit to this. Trend.
I think the test of Ted Lasso put them onto it works.
It works. It doesn't work.
I prefer
it doesn't work for us, but I think
it doesn't work for anyone for any reason.
Has told them it works.
I, Honestly, I prefer it that way. There are some shows that I really want to binge, but for the most part, I'm actually very happy that I can wait another week and get another episode. Like, I'm really looking forward to Fridays now, because Friday's not just the Mac show. Friday's also Dickinson, yeah, and For All Mankind, and like all the shows that I really enjoy.
WandaVision.
Well, yeah. I'm getting close with that. That kind of pulled me back in a little bit on 4, but I'm getting close now.
So here's the reason why the once-a-week trick works. As a person who has been studying community building for, like, the last couple of months, the advantage of doing what Patrice is speaking on is it allows us to get together at the pub and argue about it for, like, a week. But that version of the pub now is online, okay? So now while we're arguing about it for a week online, saying that, you know, Joffrey was never going to be the king because he had to get killed, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's this fight going on. That grows the community so massively that these shows have gigantic cult followings. It also leaves room for the Ted Lasso podcast or for the All Mankind podcast and the other spinoff things and that. So you're generating buzz for a week solid, and then you bring the next one.
I just don't watch it now, though. That's the point.
So then what happens after it's all over, while the season is off, that nebulous of people that are, you know, coming up with fan versions and the breakdown and, oh, did you see the Easter eggs and all that? That goes on for the entire off season.
I started
when we
watching.
Growing up, that didn't happen in shows.
So last
off season was the off season.
Last Friday and Saturday, I my back was terrible on Friday. I couldn't even walk. So I spent the whole day in bed, and on Saturday as well, I caught up with all the Friday shows, and then I stumbled and I thought, by the time I got through to sort of lunchtime Saturday, it was like, trying to find some new stuff now. And whoever's written WandaVision, they found the expensive drugs. I just want to point that out. I got to Losing Alice, and I thought, oh, and it started off, the trailer was in English. So I was like, oh, that's really cool. And I really like the actress, Zelina or whatever it is. She's very good. So I thought I'd watch that, and it's in the original Hebrew. And I watched the first episode in Hebrew. And because it's not, I can watch it in French with subtitles because my French is half decent. So I get words without having to read the subtitles constantly. In Hebrew, utterly lost. So luckily there's an English dub. So I put that on. I got through and I got to the 7th one. And I'm like, this is really weird. You know, why would you make 7 episodes for a season? And then it's like, it's out next Friday. You're like, oh, I spent the whole friggin' day watching it.
That's the other test, where they drop 3 episodes at a time. Who did that last year?
They did that to kind of get you into it, didn't they? They dropped the first 3
Amazon
episodes.
Amazon Prime does that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They most recently did it with The Expanse.
No, you know what it was, Ewan? Yes. The one with Olivia and Jesse, from Breaking Bad, what was it called?
Oh my God.
The Apple TV show. It was really, really good.
God, I can't remember. It's the...
Me neither. It was one of the first
ones.
Down in the
sea.
Yeah, they did that situation where they started out with 3, got you stuck, and it was good writing because of the way they kept cliffhanging, and then they said, okay, we're going to drop them every week at a time after that. Man, it pains me because that was one of Apple's first shows, and it was so good.
Bob Beach is telling me that none of the Beatles' later stuff is bad. Abbey Road is possibly their best album. I think all Beatles stuff is shit, to be honest. But there you go. I just wanted to make an example. Last story then. iPhone, reverse charging for Apple, unlikely in the near future. I don't know why anyone wants this. What's the one device in your entire life that you've always complained about the battery life with? It's the phone. So why would you want to start taking power away from the phone?
Yeah.
Convenience.
It's not, though. It's inconvenient.
Because of your AirPods.
Yeah, because you're going to get some twat who gets to 5 o'clock and goes, hey, look, my AirPods are fully charged thanks to my phone, and the phone's
dead. I want to do this. Yeah,
oh, okay. Just so you can.
Anyway, the answer to the question was, truth be told, I don't know why I got stuck, and her name is Octavia Spencer.
Oh, anymore. That's her. Yeah, she's good. She's real good.
I'm done. Yeah. I'm sorry. My brain got stuck.
Anyway.
You know, Ginsburg, if I I want to do that, but then I'll be so mad that then all of a sudden my AirPods are fully charged and now my phone don't have no juice.
He wasn't listening, because that's what I just said.
It's non-starter, bro.
I want it to go the other way. I want to be able to sacrifice the charge in my AirPods case to get a few more minutes.
Now, okay, yeah, can do that. That'd be great.
Yeah, that's better. I find it a non-starter. Although, the one that Samsung has, which, you know, Samsung is very famous for inventing features that sound really good in commercials that don't do jack in the real world, that gets everybody excited until they try it, it doesn't really work, and they don't talk about it. However, if Apple does it, like, the whole planet is in a meltdown, there's a word gate attached to it, and blah, 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 we won't get into that. But the one that they have is, I got my phone here, I'm down to the little red thing, you know, like, my dog's happy, and then my friend can just go like that, and then, you know, maybe for 3 or 4 minutes, and then after that, my phone's good to go. To
and get take all your contents.
It only does charge you.
It's got all your contents.
That version is good, right? But the idea of, like you know, like Jeff said, if I can do it from one phone to one phone, and it's just a good way to, like, help a buddy get a charge, all right, that one's not too bad. But again, Samsung advertised it like a year and a half ago. Nobody talks about it, and I don't think I've ever seen it being done in the wild ever. So it's one of those features that's really good in commercials and in keynote speaks, but I swear to you, I've never seen a single person doing it. Or maybe that's because the pandemic hit.
And someone writes a slow show tune called Brother, Can You Spare a Charge?
Wow.
We have a title. Oh, man. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. Love them to bits. They are awesome, Dawson. We cannot do without them. If you'd like anything from them, web hosting, domain names, VPS, VPN, all that kind of stuff, then get onto them at tsohost.com and they will support you. But that's not what they want. They would love it if you bought that. BTN20 gets you 20% off your basket. But what they really, really want from you is recognition. If you are a listener to this podcast and you enjoy listening to any of the podcasts that we put out, you have got to get yourself on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. That is it. That is all you have to do. It is a fundamental requirement of being a listener that you must do that on the socials. Otherwise, if we don't have bandwidth, if we don't have servers and all the stuff that they give us, then we will just simply not be here. So please get out there and do that. And also, we've got iMen Max Callum. They send us a host every week to come and join in, but they've got some fantastic stuff. If anything with an Apple logo in your house is defunct in any way and does not work, give them a call, go to the bookings page, get it booked in. They will have a look at it. If they can't fix it, they'll send it back to you and there'll be no money change hands. If they can, they'll do you a really good deal. If you say you're part of BTN, you get 5% on it as well. And it'll come back working perfectly. They do refurbished items as well. So if you want something for the kids that's cheap and not disposable, but, you know, if the kids dropped it, it's not the end of the world. They've got some stuff there that they can help you with. And also, if you've got existing equipment that you want to just get it to fly a little bit more, Muller's having an SSD shoved into his Mac Mini this week. It'll go like great guns after that. Then go see them. Cal, have we got a machine of the week or a service of the week or a something of the week?
So we've got plenty of iPad Pros in at the moment.
That's no mean feat, mate, because we tried to get an iPad for Bryony's birthday and we're into the middle of March for it.
Well, you know where to come, don't you? We've got plenty of iPad Pro 12.9-inch third gen, so the one without the home button. We've got a 256, a 512, and I think a couple of others. We do have a lot of iPads in at the moment as well. I just want to mention as well, I mentioned it last week on the show, we've been having a lot of issues with people doing updates to 11.21. Big Sir, I have found a way to get the data off if you've got a Mac with a T2 chip. So that's good news for a couple of customers we've had this week. So,
nice.
We have had a few more this week with that issue. So definitely make sure you do your backup.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And of course, we're still running the competition. If you would like to have a few entries now this week, so if you'd like to send us another entry in this week, we'll probably draw it at the start of March or something like that. You can have, there's two iMen Max mugs to give away, and also we've got three chargers to give away wireless chargers that are actually supported with two USB ports on the front as well for an additional devices. All you've got to do is tell us the name of the four people who work at iMen Max. Just their Christian names is fine. Who are the four people that work at iMen Max? And if you're struggling, I think the Christmas show's still up. Go back and listen to the Christmas show because they're all mentioned there. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Monsieur Duckrock.
Okay, gang. This has been a common conversation around the new M1 computers, and most people speak of it wrong, and it's been kind of a headache, but finally people are starting to come out with devices that just make this thing kick. So what you may not know is that the two ports on the back of the M1 computers or on the side of the M1 computers are two independent Thunderbolt chains. They are not a single chain sharing, you know, love to each other. So what a lot of people do, because they're, say, misinformed, they just go willy-nilly start slapping USB-C stuff on there and then go, well, my stuff isn't as fast as I think it is. Because, unfortunately, the industry decided to make all those ports the same shape, which is irritating. But anyway, OWC, always OWC, comes to the rescue. And this little baby right here is ridiculous. Let me show you how big it is. This, my friends, is the OWC Thunderbolt 4, aka USB 4 dock. It is the size of an old iPhone 4. Like, this is against a 12. Like, it is tiny. Yet, it packs a wallop, okay? You plug it in the front. That part's a little weird. I wish it was on the side like the CalDigit one, which is coming. But we'll take it. So you plug it in the front, and I think that's because, you know, notebook people. And then you got your extra super speed USB right there. But on the back, you get one, two, but not just two like everything else. You get three Thunderbolt chains that you can put onto your system and a place to plug power and a Kensington lock. So what that allows you to do is you can run two 4K monitors out of it or a single 8K. You can chain various other Thunderbolt things. And so the money move, if you really have a lot of stuff, then you want to put one of these on one of the ports and one of these on the other ports and then run yourself silly, and then you're good to go and you can stop complaining about ports. Here's a kicker. This guy's only $150. Most of your Thunderbolt 3 docks, like the aforementioned CalDigit, this guy is $250, and you're only going to get one extra port because you got to use one to plug it in. This guy gives you all the extra ports because it doesn't count the one that you plug it in. So there'll be more coming. I have the CalDigit versions on the way, and then the Sonnet version on the way because I'm going all in. Dock on docks, guide to docks.
So, docks, dock, get with the dock. For this week's dock.
I see what you did there.
In the dock.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? And I will sit this dock by the bay.
The dock, dock. The dock, dock, dock.
Ouch.
Dock.
Ouch. Kurt, I need a link for that because I'm probably going to get a Mac Mini the start of next month.
I can tell you, it's super easy. MacSales.com.
Who don't ship to the UK?
Twinsburg! Yo!
I talked about this when Twinsburg. I got it. I ordered it in November, so I think they're back ordered till May now.
Yeah. It's the bee's knees, bro. The bee's knees. Cal, if you're in a hurry, go put in an order for the CalDigit Element, or Sonnet just announced theirs yesterday. But OWC is shipping them as soon as they come in. They say May, but they kind of trickle. Yeah. So mine came relatively quick.
I'll have a look.
Excellent, mate. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, buddy?
Well, our discussions that involved talk about going to the pub today turns out to be very timely for my pick, because my pick is a website that's free to use, and it's called I Miss My Bar. And what it does is it gives you the ambient sounds of hanging out at your pub. And so you can use the sliders on the right to control the volumes of whatever it is that, you know, or whichever sounds you want to have. So you can make it sound like whatever bar activity you want. So it can be like a chill afternoon, hanging out at the bar, having a beer with a couple of your mates, or it could be Friday or Saturday night where the whole place is just jamming, and you get a different music playlist that that you can play along with it every week. So, you know, and you can also play only the sounds you want. So, you know, set it up and have just the bar background noise that you want.
You might get people suicidal if they play with this, though. Sort of start weeping uncontrollably, at least.
This is so crazy. One of those things you don't need, but yet it is so dope. The idea of even thinking of this is incredible, and the sound quality is good. I just listened. I don't know if that came through.
I miss going.
Yeah,
to
the sound quality is nice, and you know, if you're in a place where you just really, really need to have a little bit of that pub vibe while you sit back in and have a beer or an old fashioned or a gin mule, whatever it is, you know, just kind of get this going.
I wasn't missing going to the pub till a minute ago.
Yeah.
Damn you, Cal.
Honestly, it's the biggest thing that I've missed, just the social aspect.
Cal, you're ain't old enough to go to the pub.
I am in the UK. More than old enough.
Yeah, in the UK, isn't it like when you're 8?
5.
You can start drinking, or is it serving?
Oh, no, you can start drinking before 5, but you can buy alcohol at 5.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You can serve at 11, but they're on about bringing that down to about 6.
No, I'm talking about age.
Yeah, we're so weak.
Yeah, so
okay, great. Great. See, this is why I love the UK.
Yeah. We're progressive, man. You can marry it. Well, actually, that's not true, because most of Europe's royalty married at 12, so that has been the case. Talking of marrying at 12, it's got nothing to do with it at all. Patricia Coulthard.
Okay. My cool thing is a TV show. So there's been this movie, like a couple of instances, called The Equalizer. I don't remember who the last guy
Edward
was.
Edward Robinson, mate.
Yep.
Something that.
No, definitely. Anyway,
there's
Edward.
A new TV show.
And he was a quality. And then they did old Denzel spun it off, didn't he?
Ah, Denzel. Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, you were sitting thinking okay. Denzel's the original. Edward Woodward, Edward
there
Woodward.
There were a couple of instances. I said the last guy.
Oh, mate, you've got to watch Edward Woodward. Go back and look at the TV series for Edward Woodward. So much better.
Edward Woodward was the
There is a new TV show. The Equalizer is a woman. And I really enjoy it. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think there was a new episode.
She's a woman? You're just going to leave it at she's a woman?
She's awesome.
She is Queen Latifah, fam.
Absolutely. She is the bomb.
Thank you. Queen Latifah is icon, dude. It's like Oprah, Queen Latifah. She's a woman.
I'm not scared of any women, but I'm scared of Queen Latifah.
Thank you.
She's probably the only woman in Hollywood that could carry this role off, but because I've seen Edward do it, sorry, no.
There are a couple others that could do that too. But no, she's amazing. The show is really, really good so far. I mean, it's only like 2 episodes.
So here's what's funny. Like, most people only know Queen Latifah from her hip-hop era, but her jazz reign under Dana Owens, thank you. Can you tell them, Jeff? You go get yourself some, her real name, Dana, get her albums in her own, not her nom de plume, and listen to how incredible she is. That woman is beyond talented. And if you really want to go back, check out Living Single. It's one of my favorite shows back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, her jazz album is...
You could have said, any other woman, Patrice, I would not have listened to this. I wouldn't have entertained it for a split second. I will watch episode one because it's Queen Latifah, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came on during the Super Bowl. And a lot of people gave it...
And the players refused to go back out.
It's just weird. Yeah, a lot of people gave it stick, but that's just because our country's in a weird spot right now.
That's a really nice way of putting it, Doc.
Yeah. I was trying to be nice as possible.
Bob Beach and I are agreeing for the first time. The TV show with Edward Woodward was great. There we go. Mm. He's disagreed with me all about the Beatles stuff. But so we're going to give Queen Latifah a try, mate.
Yeah. Do it. As I said, 2 episodes so far. Really, really good. Really enjoyable. It's not just an act like the movie, the last movie, like as I said, Denzel Washington, wasn't that great. It was more like an action movie. This is like a proper TV show, like with character development and everything that goes with that.
How many woods, Ewan? Yes, all right, Mullah, thank you. Chuckus, what's your cool thing?
Yes, sir. A lot of us are not spending a lot of time in the car right now, but we will be at some point, there's no question. And I've had a lot of fights with my car phone mounts for my iPhone. And so this is a combination pick and plug, because I just did this over on Mac Voices. But this is the Kai-style magnetic car phone mount. Now, this thing looks like some kind of small torture device, but it's brilliantly engineered, because instead of just sticking it on the fins in your vent, if you look at the bottom back of that, there's a little hook to it. And that hook goes around the back end of the vent, and then the front, the large wheel part, screws it down so it actually adheres to the vent. Instead of just using those little pressure pads that usually come with most vent mounts, this actually grabs a hold of your vent the fin in the vent and holds it. The other part of this that's really critical is this has got 6 strong magnets in it, not the usual 4 or 2 that constantly drop the phones, especially the larger iPhones. You put your phone on this, it stays there. And it also has an adjustment you can look at if you're watching the video behind the magnetic mount part that will let you loosen that or tighten it just a little bit. So you can set this at portrait, landscape. It's a 360-degree ball head, so you can angle it toward you as the driver or toward the passenger if they want to watch a video while you're driving. This and it's only $11.99. This is absolutely my favorite and best car phone mount I've found yet. And I can't encourage you enough that if you are looking for a car phone mount, try this one.
Excellent. Okay. I'm
what was the name again? I'm trying to find it.
The Kai style magnetic phone clamp charger. It hasn't given me a UK option on it, so it might not be available in the UK, but it works with anything that you've got. I presume you get like a little metal disc to stick on an iPhone that's not MagSafe. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's the only requirement. You can either put it on the phone, you can put it, you know, back in the case behind the phone. And one other interesting point that I didn't think about until I did it, usually you have to contend with those magnetic plates shifting around, so you have to make sure you hit the sweet spot. Now that you have the MagSafe stuff, there's a magnet in your phone that holds that plate exactly where it should be, right in the middle, so that it doesn't move anymore. So now you know exactly where to put your phone and don't have to kind of feel around and figure out where the magnet is.
Does it mess with charging at all?
Oh yeah, that's the compromise, that you do not have the MagSafe charging because of that metal plate. But I mean, for me in the car, you know, I don't think the charging in the car is a big deal, because if I use CarPlay and I've got to plug my CarPlay in anyway. So, you know, what difference? But if you're in love with the MagSafe charging, yeah, that might be an issue for you for home.
Yeah, I've just been waiting on Peak Design, because I bought all of that crap. But they take, they're on schedule, but they don't take forever. But yeah, what's cool about the Peak Design stuff is it uses an X-Lock type thing, where you can put it on your bike, your golf cart, your whatever. It ain't coming off. Whatever you put it on, it stays on there. And I've used X-Lock for my bike for a while. So, but I can't wait anymore. So I've been wanting something. This is dope, because it's only going to be $11. And then when my other stuff finally comes in, I can just go use the other stuff that I bought. Cool. I appreciate it.
Enjoy.
Bob is now disagreeing with me, saying that he often agrees with me. whose turn is it? Cal's. Tal, your turn. Off you go, mate.
So my cool thing this week is an app called OpenIn. So I have 3 browsers that I use. So I use Safari, Brave, and Edge on my Mac. And basically, I was looking for something that, say if I'm opening a link to work out how to fix something, I want that in a certain browser. If I'm opening a link to get a ticket open to read what I've got to fix next. I want that in a certain browser. So I was looking for something that could do that, and I found OpenIn on the App Store, which also then happens to be in SetApp. I've been using it on my Mac for a couple of days, and it's just really nice. It just works really well. So say I click on the link from Chuck, it pops up and it asks me, do I want it in Brave, Edge or Safari? I can press 1, 2 or 3 for hotkeys, and you can set it up as well. So we use a system called Repair Shopper for our tickets. I can set it up to say, take all the Repair Shopper links, I click and open it in Safari, take all the, you know, whatever other links, say a Zoom link, open that in Brave, and it just works. It's really neat.
Brilliant.
I'm not sure how much the free version gives you, but if you've got SetApp, you get it all anyway.
I thought we were going to go a whole episode without mentioning SetApp there. Well done, mate.
I just don't think that's possible.
No, we shouldn't either.
I think we've
ever
had
awesome.
That opportunity. It always comes up.
Yeah, it's just they do so much good stuff. You cannot ignore it. It's impossible.
Yeah. Well done, mate. And Dave G, what's your cool thing, man?
Yeah, I got this. This actually goes along with the Thunderbolt hub that the doctors talked about. This is a new cable that just got released by OWC. It's fully compatible across all the boards here, which you've got Thunderbolt 4, Thunderbolt 3, USB-C, and USB-4. Certified to work with 100 watts of power, 40 gigs of speed, so it's a really good cable. It's probably the same cable came with the dock, but still good quality and very inexpensive. Only in $27.99. It's a 0.8 meters in length, and you know we love OWC, and it's going to work with the 4K, 5K, or 8K Thunderbolt displays and USB-C displays. So good cable, cheap, and if anybody's looking for a cable, because these cables always tend to be a little more expensive, $40-$50. So I thought this was a good cable to pick.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Now, I'd put mine in before you put yours in, Chuck, so I'm not trying to one-up you here. So.
Okay.
My cool thing is the M-Power wireless Qi charger. It is quick. It's a very good charger, 10 watts. It's got a charging zone that you need to hit with your phone, but you've got a vertical stabilizer that you pull to the right length to make sure that you hit your charge point. One thing that's really cool about it is normally if you've got these that have got quite a long gooseneck, the gooseneck will wobble quite a bit when you're driving, especially in like low roads when you're off the freeway and stuff. So this thing's got a little midpoint clasp that you can put onto the dashboard and then push the gooseneck into that, so it stabilizes it, and it works brilliantly. I bought one of these for the van. And the other thing that's cool is it's got motorized arms on the side, and that's just enough for me. That did it. So when you put your phone in, it recognizes your phone, hits the charger, and the two little arms just automatically squeeze in and grab your phone. And then when you want it out, you push a little button with your thumb and they open so that you can take it out, which holds it really securely. It's absolutely brilliant, and it's 25 quid. So it's a bit more expensive.
We don't get a 10% voucher in the US version.
Really?
No.
Oh, well. There you go. Sucks.
Oh, we get a $5 coupon, but
there you
it's
go.
Not the same.
Well, that's 10. that's 25. But that's 20%, isn't it? $5.
Are you sure?
10% is £2.50. So you get more. You bastards.
Oh. Well, ours cost 30. Ours cost $32.99.
Oh, so you get. No, it's not. It's not 20%. It's 17%. So.
Yeah. So
you get
so
the sales
and,
tax back.
Where's the power coming to operate the motorized arms?
From your car. Because it's a charger.
Oh, that yeah. Okay, because you have to have it plugged in, but you can't. I got it.
Okay.
But you don't have CarPlay capability then, right?
I haven't got CarPlay.
Okay.
I do. So now I got to double check this, Chuck. Thanks for bringing that up. Because yours sounded more exciting than yours. But then if it's going to mess up CarPlay. But wait, I got wireless CarPlay, though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're okay,
you're
one of the
So this doesn't take your socket either, though. So I've got the little headphone. Because I put it in my van. And my van's low-tech. It's 2007. But I've just put a 3.5 mil into the little aux port. And I've had to use a Thunderbolt switcheroo thing to put it into the not Thunderbolt, lightning switcheroo thing to put it into the bottom to play the audio out. So, but it's okay. it's just cool, you know. It's a sad geeky cool thing that it just grips it automatically.
Right.
Yeah. But that means it always goes into the center then as well. So, yeah, I'm justifying it, aren't I already? So.
Well, you got it then.
Nice.
Muller says his has got motorized arms as well, and his is an MPOW 2. Where can we get a hold of you, Docus?
You can find me all over the universe at DOCROCK. You can find me heading up the ECAM community on Facebook and all over YouTube. That's the hanging out spot nowadays.
Did you say ECAM? Did you say ECAM?
Yeah.
Cha-ching. Well done, mate.
I'm not stupid, man. Hold on. Let me cheers.
Cheers. Don't put your finger over the logo. Good God, you amateur.
It's left-handed. I can't do it because it's left-handed. It messes me up. I got to switch every time.
Left-handed cups. Duh.
Now I really need one of those.
Yeah, I can make software that changes the world, but I can't make a right-handed cup for the 90% of people who are right-handed.
I can actually send you one, so I will send you
one. You're going to send me one?
That would be awesome. He's going to be left-handed Ecamm mug.
I'm left-handed.
Yeah.
Doc, if you send one here, it'll be like $160, won't it, to send it to me?
Dude, we got a guy there. And he's in Merseyside or whatever, and we ended up sending him three different ones because they kept breaking the handle. So finally, the lady that runs the marketing ordered those metal camper ones with the enamel baked on the outside, and she sent it to him. It's like, because I finally got one that wasn't broken. But it's super funny, like three different times. And you know how expensive it is to send stuff to England, even from Boston, and yet it broke the handle all three occasions. So
I think they need to boost the UK presence. Definitely. I leave it in your capable hands.
You didn't like it. You wanted to suffer through Skype.
No, I just can't do it. I'm too stupid. I need help. Send the dude down from Merseyside for a show.
Okay.
Set us up. Jeff, where would you be?
Jake Amott, Twitter and Instagram. Here on the Mac Show, on the Big Show. Chuck has somehow... decided to really tolerate me and lets me on Mac Voices Live every week.
I know, right?
Wow. Chuck,
I know. Just recently did an episode of Mac OS Ken and did Brew and Bytes a few weeks ago. And I bring that up because it was so much fun. And I hope that eventually there's an outtakes from that one that has all the stuff we discussed between segments, because that would be awesome. And anyhow, I get around. So
you know, people can actually watch the show, right, rather than you listen to describe the whole thing when all you're supposed to be doing is giving out your Twitter handle.
Yeah, well, it's how I roll.
I hope Chuck ain't going to be this bad. Patrice, would you be?
Well, I'm here every week on the Big Show and on the Mac Show. Everything I do, all the links and social medias and stuff, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to random people about food and food-related.
Have we got any new ones coming out on the Grub Show?
I haven't edited yet, but I have Tom Ferry's wife, Teresa, coming up.
And oh, yeah, Meg Whitmore's nanny. Meg Whitman's nanny.
Oh, I'll take her.
No, Teresa was Meg Whitman's nanny.
She was? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, mate, call yourself an interviewer.
No, I didn't know that.
No, she was on a...
She never came up.
We talked about Meg Whitman when that thing catastrophically failed that she entered into. And we mentioned, and Tom said it in the chat room. It was on a Big Show, I think. You were there. Honest. I think the episode title is Meg Whitman's Nanny. Oh, well. It's obviously just me that listens. Chuck, where are you, mate?
You can find me here on the Mac Show on Fridays. I thoroughly enjoy this. I don't laugh this much all week long.
You can, but primarily.
I'm not surprised you work in insurance.
No, I am. It's just that we work at home now. No, but you can find me at MacVoices.com. We do Mac Voices live on Facebook and YouTube on Friday. On Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Pacific. Can't talk today, and I'm on the social medias as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks for having me, Jonas.
Oh, mate, blessed. We love having you. We lost without you on a Friday. We miss you when you're not here.
I'll try not to miss.
No, good. If they ever say go back to the office, say no, I'm leaving. There you go. Just quit your job.
It's totally worth it.
We're totally worth it, man. You'll never look
talk
back.
About the wages part, but you know, other than that,
We'll do what we can.
Okay.
We can't, but I'll do what we can. Wait till we sign our deal with Ecamm. Woof.
Yes, there we go.
Then you're all sorted. Callum, where are you, dude?
Yeah, you can get hold of us and everything we do at IMMMax.com. We're on all the socials at IMMMax. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. I'm in the Slack room. You can drop us an email at info@IMMMax if you've got any questions, want any help. I know Chuck reached out a couple of weeks ago. So, we're happy to answer any questions and sort anything out for you as best as we can.
Thanks, mate. All appreciate you staying over and coming on the show at night. I know you're itching to get home.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. And Dave G, where are you?
In Touch with iOS, the podcast, intouchwithios.com. And I'm also here on the Mac Show and also on Mac Voices Live as well on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm on Twitter at DaveG65. And I'm always thrilled to be here. And thanks for having me.
Excellent, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week with... I'm going to try and post this over the weekend, so it's not going to be the usual week delay. But we're going to be back next week, Thursday night as normal, Friday night as normal. If NASA are launching anything, we're bloody for that as well. Bloody right there for that. That was cool. Have a really great weekend. Enjoy yourself and relax, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening.